Years ago, it seemed that we had two separate Scout Sundays, and they were, 4 to 6 weeks apart. And in the last few years, the United Methodist Church has brought those two together, and we celebrate Scouting on one Sunday, which happens to be today. I see we've got some of our Scouts in uniform. Is Kyle still here? Where'd he? No. He's what? Oh, he's doing another Scout thing somewhere else. I saw you, Katrina, and I thought, well, where's Kyle? Kyle was here in uniform. We've got all four of you in uniform. How many, if you have been involved in Scouts, either as a Scout or as a Scout leader, why don't you stand for us? Wow, look at everyone. How many are behind me? I better turn around here and look behind me as well. Well, let's, I didn't have them stand at the early service, but so you're unique, but let's give them a round of applause for their work with the youth and children in the community. You may be seated. I figure this, that any time we have other teams that are willing to welcome other youth, and we have moms and dads that are willing to open up their schedules and give time so that we can get the kids off the streets and something, well, and even get them away from the TVs and the video games, but to be involved in something worthwhile, that indeed is a great joy to celebrate. So thank you all for your time and your talents and your effort of being involved in the Scouting program. In looking at today's scripture, a reading from 1 Corinthians, let me first say that Paul wrote 1 and 2 Corinthians, these two letters, to the church at Corinth. Now, Corinth was an interesting seaport town that I guess the easiest way to sum it up is that it was a sailor's port. It was not a good place to go visit. It was a place that was rampant with, there's no way to sugarcoat it. It was just a phenomenally sinful town. It even became kind of a nickname that if you really wanted to dig at someone, you called them a Corinthian. That was not a good name. And yet, in the midst of all of that world and that place, Paul saw to it that there was at least the light of Christ that was shining. And so the church there was started. It wasn't without its struggles. Paul was not without his struggles with individuals there as well. So listen now and hear these words that Paul writes to them from 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. Do you not know that in a race the runners all compete, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win it. Athletes exercise self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable one. So I do not run aimlessly, nor do I box as though beating the air, but I punish my body and enslave it, so that after proclaiming to others, I myself should not be disqualified. May God's richest blessings be upon the reading and the hearing of these holy words for us this day. For they are the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Our gracious and loving God, for this day we give you thanks. For the teachings of your great servant Paul, we are indebted to you. We pray now, O God, that you would bring comfort and rest to each and every one of us from those things in our daily lives, those things past, present, and yet to come that might call and push us away. And now, Lord God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, may they be pleasing and acceptable, O God, to you, our rock and our redeemer. For we pray in Christ's name. Amen. The presidential primaries are upon us and have been going on for quite a while. The Pennsylvania primary is set for when? I will admit to you that I'm about as political as they come, and so I went online and typed in Pennsylvania primary, and it said, well, that's a good question because we're not really sure yet. It's scheduled for April 24th, but because of some protesting or legislation opposing evidently some of the redistricting in some areas, that may or may not yet happen. So time will tell whether indeed it is the 24th of April or gets moved. So we know that pretty soon then we're going to get inundated with TV commercials, ads in the newspaper, and all kinds of publications that we're going to get bombarded with why we should vote for candidate A and why we should not vote for candidate B. It's no wonder that political campaigns are more popularly known as races. Those individuals that are running for office have been running around as that proverbial chicken with their heads cut off, moving from place to place and town to town within the states that are having or have already had their primaries, trying to encourage why they should be voted for and become the top runner. Indeed, the metaphors for the presidential campaign come almost exclusively from the worlds of racing and boxing. Go figure. The most popular candidate is almost always called the front runner, and if they are way ahead, it might be called a one-horse race, or they are lapping the field. If it's a close race, on the other hand, then of course they are running neck in neck, and the election then could go down to the wire as they make the final bend and come into the home stretch. Still, though, it's possible to run a good race, whether or not one is running for the presidency or any other elected position. Or perhaps if it's us here this morning, hoping to achieve a more attainable prize. You see, the Apostle Paul was fond of using racing and competition metaphors when talking about the Christian life, and his metaphors can teach us all about running the race of life with integrity, with passion, and with purpose. Lesson number one that Paul shares with us is run to win. Now, this seems obvious, of course, but for Paul, winning was not about achievement. Winning was not about status. Winning was not about one's office that they held. But rather, instead, for Paul, he understood winning as the ultimate goal in the race of pleasing Almighty God and living in relationship with God. In 1 Corinthians 9, Paul gives an account of his own conduct and his own discipline, telling his readers that his choices and his actions are not geared toward achieving some personal status or personal pleasures, but rather it's all motivated for him in pleasing God in such a way that in the end, he will not be disqualified. Winning, in other words, meant achieving the kind of character and conduct that reflected his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so having then won that prize, or at least striving to win it, Paul then knew that his calling was to win others to Christ through his proclamation of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which occurred daily through his actions and through his deeds. Second lesson in this morning's scripture is Paul talks about exercising self-control. How do you win the prize that Paul is talking about? Well, it's not really that much different than from winning a competition of any kind. For that matter, you've got to be willing to work at it. Paul does say that athletes exercise self-control in all things. Athletes have to train diligently in order to have the ability to reach the finish line. Musicians must practice diligently in order to be accomplished on the instrument that they are performing. And so they have incredible self-control, giving up other things or situations with family or friends because of their training and their time of practice. So self-control, Paul says, is essential in winning. Indeed, Paul even names self-control as one of the sought-after fruits of the Spirit, or another piece of evidence indicating that we are on the winning track toward reflecting Christ in our lives. I mean, Paul says, "I punish my body and enslave it so that its desires won't distract him from that self-control desire of being in relationship with God, of pleasing God, and living and sharing the good news with those individuals that Paul comes in contact with daily." When we practice spiritual disciplines, things like prayer and reading the scriptures and fasting and daily acts of compassion towards others, then we are focusing our daily lives, being involved in self-control, so that we might push towards, as Paul would say, winning the prize of pleasing God. And thirdly, Paul talks about living life with a purpose. And Paul again taps the competition metaphors when he says, "So I do not run aimlessly, nor do I box as though beating the air." Runners have a particular goal in mind, and boxers must eventually make contact with their intended target if they're going to be successful. You see, Paul also even refused to allow the criticisms of some people in the Corinthian church to sidetrack him from his purpose of preaching the gospel and of pleasing God. He understood that his life mission to be bound up in proclaiming the risen Christ and the good news, so much so that he was willing to adapt his approach and his lifestyle in any way that was necessary in order to reach the different groups that he found he was placed in the midst of. Paul even said, "When I need to be a Greek, I'm a Greek. When I need to be a Roman, I'm a Roman." Whatever was necessary so that he might share and proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. So you see, instead of pleasing the people that were surrounding Paul, Paul was always more interested in being faithful to pleasing God. Now, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God has gifted and God has equipped each and every one of us in this sanctuary today. God has equipped us for a particular mission within the body of Christ for the purpose of being those agents that go out into the world to help change and transform and to make God's kingdom alive and active and ruling in today's world. Our first loyalty must always be to God and God's purposes as followers of Jesus Christ. We recognize that Jesus was focused on that particular purpose as well. Now, Jesus received a cross because he didn't please the right people. Paul would be thrown into prison repeatedly and abused in countless ways because, well, he didn't please the right people either. But neither of them could be discouraged from living out their purpose and their calling to faithfully serve and meet the needs of brothers and sisters in Christ. It is my hope and my prayer that as God continues to gift us and empower us each and every day, that we might be able to go and to do and to say the same. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we are thankful for the mission and ministry of Jesus and the calling of your servant Paul. We know, O God, that you have blessed and anointed each and every one of us as well with gifts for use within your kingdom. We pray this day that we might claim them, that we might use them, and that today or tomorrow, every day for that matter, that we might faithfully use these gifts, that it might indeed be pleasing to you. O God, we pray in Jesus Christ's holy and precious name. Amen.